So this morning is a good morning because, if you can just switch to my PowerPoint, because this morning we're going to dedicate some babies later, and I'll explain more about that as when we get there. But what I love is because we're carrying on in our meaningless series, and we've entitled it Meaningless because in Ecclesiastes there's some famous words that say meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless, everything is meaningless. And what we've been doing, we've been having a look at different topics over these last few weeks and basically seeing how that for each area of life, for each stage of life, all of it only really finds its meaning in God. And this morning we're looking at parenting for amateurs. Parenting for amateurs, a good topic to do on Mother's Day. Funnily enough, we can all have pressure, can't we? We can all find pressure. I'm a parent, I've got two young girls. We can all have pressure as parents. And just last week, I was sitting down writing this talk on parenting, how to be a good parent. I was writing this talk, and suddenly the rest of the office heard a scream from my room as I grabbed my keys and ran out the door because I was half an hour late picking up my child from school. And it was classic. The poor girl, she was sitting there. Luckily, there was a year four girl who had also been left, so she was reading her a story, which was quite nice. But it did make me laugh. So it really is parenting for amateurs by amateurs this morning. And so throughout this series, we've looked at lots of different things, and we've also asked someone from the church to talk to us about their experience of each topic. So we've looked at starting out in life. We've looked at singleness and marriage. We've looked at a divorce. We've looked at living with illness. And this week we're looking at parenting. And so Leah from our Bognor site is going to share her thoughts on parenting. Hopefully.
So I'm here with Leah Fairbank, who's part of our Bognor site. Leah, tell us a little bit about your family situation right now.
So I'm Leah. I'm married to Jamie. We've got two children, Abby and Jake, who are 8 and 6. Jamie's a plumber and I'm a midwife, so we both work full time. Family situation is good, but it's busy and fairly kind of fast flowing.
Yeah. So tell us, we're talking about parenting. How does having children affect your relationship with God?
So I've been a parent without God and with God, so it's quite different. There's some challenges and some really good, great things in it as well. So sometimes I find it a bit challenging. I'm managing my time and I want to give time to God, but I'm quite busy with the parenting side of it and kind of juggling with children. So I find it quite challenging in giving that time to God sometimes in our family life. Control with the children. So I think it's quite normal for most parents, especially myself, that I want to help my children. If I'm worried about something, I want to be the one that fixes it. And actually God wants me to hand over to Him. So God kind of teaches me to hand things over to Him and brings me closer to Him through that. It just teaches me to trust Him more because the children kind of in the world are the best thing to me in this world, the things that I want the best for. And I also find that parenting really helps me with kind of seeing God's love. So like the love that I have for my children and the things that I want for them and how much I care for them. And then to think that God has that so much bigger as well. So yeah, God really encourages me in that and kind of it blows me away a little bit how big God is in terms of, I can't imagine a love which is bigger for my children than to think that God has that so much bigger for me and for my children and for everyone really. Yeah, it's a really good teaching kind of stage or phase in my life, which, yeah, is great.
Yeah, yeah. That's so helpful. No, thank you so much for talking to us, Leah. Thank you.
Great. So, what we're going to do then this morning is we're going to, it's good, isn't it, to hear from Leah? It's good to just like hear testimony from each people each week. And this morning what we're going to do is we're going to read from a passage in Exodus. And so I'd love you to turn to Exodus now. And it might be that you haven't brought a Bible with you this morning, or you don't have an iPad or whatever with it on. And if you put your hand in the air, then one of the guys will come and bring you one in your seat. And you can just borrow that for this morning. Although it might be that your hand's up because you just don't own a Bible. And if that's the case, well, you can keep this one. You can have it as a free gift from Grace Church. Happy Mother's Day. It's all yours. So we're going to be in Exodus 2. So Exodus is the second book of the Bible after Genesis. And just a bit of background before we read it, that at the end of the book of Genesis, it talks about a group of people living in a place called Egypt. And they are known as the Israelites or Hebrews. It's kind of those two names are mixed throughout the Bible for them. These people were brought there by a man named Joseph. And Genesis ends with Joseph and his family, his extended family, living in Egypt. At this point, there's about 70 people living there. And so that's what happens at the end of Genesis. At the start of Exodus, what's happened is that 400 years have now passed. And this family has turned from around 70 people to about 2 million people. And they're not Egyptians. And everyone knows that they're not Egyptians. Instead, what they are is an ethnic minority. Egypt is governed by someone called Pharaoh. And this Pharaoh is nervous of this large number of ethnic minorities living in their region. He's fearful that they're going to rise up and overthrow them and maybe escape or overpower Pharaoh. And so what he tries to do, he goes about three ways of trying to stop them from increasing in number. And so the first thing he does is that he puts them into slavery. And so they go about working and building their infrastructures. He did that thinking, if I put them in slavery, if I persecute them, then they'll stop increasing in number. But that didn't work. Secondly, like Leah in our video, who's a midwife, what he then does is he goes to the midwives and he asks them, he says, hey, what I want you to do is when a Hebrew woman is given birth, I want you to check to see what sex it is. And if it's a boy, I want you to kill them at birth before the mum knows. And if it's a girl, let them live. And he thought, oh, if I do that, then they will stop them from growing. And so Pharaoh orders his midwives to do that. And nice topic, isn't it, on Mother's Day, to kill the babies. He orders them to do that, but the midwives refuse. And so at the end of Exodus chapter 1, it says, so God was kind to the midwives, and the people continued to increase and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, which means they had awe for him, they revered him, he gave them families of their own. And you see, back then, midwives didn't have their own families. In fact, it's very likely that for whatever reason, these midwives were barren. And throughout the Bible, when you hear of someone being barren, then watch out, because God's about to do something amazing. And just like before Abraham had a son called Isaac, Sarah was barren. Before Hannah had a son called Samuel, Hannah was barren. Before Elizabeth had a son called John, who's John the Baptist, she was barren. After all these things, God did something amazing. So the writer is telling us, hey, these midwives, they were barren, but now they've been given families by God. Something's about to happen. So then at the very last verse in the chapter says, Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. This is the third attempt. He says, every Hebrew boy that is born, what I want you to do is to throw them into the Nile, but every girl let them live. So he couldn't stop them from being killed at birth. Now he's saying, well, just find all the Hebrew boys. When they're born, chuck them into the Nile, and that's how you can do it. So Exodus chapter 2, which is what we're going to read. We're going to read the first 9 verses. Hopefully you found it by now. Says this. Now a man, and his name is called Amram, of the tribe of Levi, married a Levite woman who's called Jochebed. And she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister, Miriam, stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw that the basket among the reeds, she saw it and sent her female slave to go and get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. She must have recognized that he was a Hebrew boy. Then his sister, so Miriam, asked Pharaoh's daughter, well, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse this baby for you? And so Pharaoh's daughter says, yes, go. And so the girl went, and she went and got Jochebed, Moses' mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, can you take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. What an amazing story. I love this story right at the beginning of Moses' life. And there are three key things that we're going to look at briefly this morning. I'm going to take out the passage and apply them to our parenting. And now I know that here this morning, not everyone's a parent. That's true. But what I do know is that everyone's a child. And you might not be a parent yet, but you might be one day. Certainly you will know a parent. And it's good for all of us to hear what God might have to say on this topic so that we can support one another in this area. So whoever you are, whatever stage of life you're at, I just want to encourage you to listen in, see what God might say to you. And the first thing that I think this passage highlights to us is that every child is God's child, but he entrusts them to our care. That's the first thing to notice, that every child is God's child. He entrusts them to our care, and he trusts them to the care of parents for a season. So verse 2 says, when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him there for 3 months. She hid him for 3 months. And that phrase can be translated, when she saw that he was good. It's like a parallel to Genesis. At the very beginning of Genesis, when God created Adam and Eve, he says they are good. And so when here Jochebed is saying she saw that he was good, what she's saying is that she saw that he was a child of God. He was made in the image of God. He was created by God. And so when she just recognizes, she's like, I can't kill this baby. I can't hand him over to the plans of this government. When Jochebed looked at Moses, there was a moment where she realized that she just couldn't let anyone do anything to him, like throw him in the Nile. This baby that had been born was not just the product of a smattering of random cells together. This baby had been created by God, formed by God. She knew that he was God's child. And Jochebed had been entrusted this child to look after and to care for a season. And so she did exactly that. In the 3 months whilst he miraculously was able to be hidden, you know, maybe he was just crying really quietly, I don't know, without making much noise, she cared for him. Later on, when she was giving him back and actually paid to nurse him, she looked after, she spent time with him, she inputted time into him. She told him about his family, she told him about his life, she told him about God and all of God's love and how to worship him. The second thing is she valued the time that she had with him. That she valued the time that they had together. And so she made sure that in that short time, for however long that short period might be, that she was going to make sure that this child knew that he was God's and he was alive for a purpose. You know, in the same way, all children are God's children. Do you know that all children, all people, all human beings bear God's image? Everyone is God's child. Psalm 139 says, you were created in your, for you, God, created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Every child has value. Every child has purpose, significance. Every child is made in God's image. And, you know, Moses didn't need to do anything to be treasured and cherished by Jochebed. Before he went on and went to Pharaoh, let my people go, he was cherished and treasured by her. After all, that's the very way, that's exactly the way that God loves us. Every single person, Ephesians says, he chose those that know him and love him, he chose them before the beginning of the world. Romans tells us that while we were dead in our sins, Christ died for us. It was when we didn't know him, it was before we did anything to please him. That's when Jesus came and he died for us and for our sins. God loves us because not because of the things that we do, not because of the things that we might do, not because of the good things that we do, and he doesn't not love us because of the bad things we might do. God loves us because we are his children, because he created us. And he doesn't love a better future version of yourself. He's not waiting for you to do something great to love you. Actually, no, he loves you right now, just as you are. And it's good for us to remember this, isn't it? As our children grow up, as they annoy us, as they get on our nerves, it's good to remember, hey, this is God's child. He's entrusted them to us. And then, so every child is God's child also. Just as she valued her time, we need to value our time with our children. Jochebed made sure that she spent time inputting into Moses' life. She just made sure, she knew that her time was short, so she made sure that she spent time with him. It's so easy for us, isn't it, as parents, to wait until I get to the next stage. We've got a baby and she just keeps crying and it's like, oh, I can't wait until they're older when they sleep through the night. So easy to look for that next stage. Oh, I can't wait till they get to school, then I've got my whole day free. And then you get to, oh, I can't wait till they've left university and they're out my door and I've got my life back. You know, it's so easy to wish for the next stage. And yet it's so important for us to value the time that we have with them because it goes quickly. That's what my grandparents keep telling me. They keep, you know, not my grandparents, my parents keep telling me about my children. They keep saying, hey, look, it'll go quick. Suddenly they'll be 30 and ugly. And so make sure you spend time with them now while they're cute. You know, more money doesn't equal more love. So easy, isn't it, for us to, it gets to Christmas time and think, oh, I know how to show them I love them. I want to buy them a PlayStation. No, more time is how we show our children love. After all, Jesus was born in a stable with very little. He was mocked for being an illegitimate child, yet he knew the full unconditional love of his father. He knew it. He spent time with him. Circumstances of our lives, however rich or poor we might be, they don't dictate how much our children feel love from us. It's the time we spend with them. And so I just want to encourage you to do that, to make sure you spend time with them. I know that when Talia first went to school, she's our oldest, when she first went to school, I didn't regret not spending enough money on her. All I've ever thought is, oh, I wish I spent more time with her when she was around, when I had her. And in the same way, I know many grandparents, they don't regret that they didn't spend more money on their kids. They regret that they didn't spend more time with them. So every child is God's child. Love them unconditionally. Value the time that you have with them. Secondly, every child is God's child, and we should entrust them to him. So he entrusts his children to us. We should entrust them to him. Having seeing this child that's created by God, Jochebed had faith that God will look after him, even if it meant putting him in a basket and putting him in a river. She entrusted him to God. She said, God, have your way. I'm not going to go about my own way. I'm not going to do what I think is best. I'm going to trust you. Will you look after him? She trusts that God's plans for this child are better than her own. During that time where she was paid to nurse Moses, I wonder what she was thinking. I wonder if she was, oh, shall I run away? Oh, shall I give him back? Shan't I? All the Hebrews, having been enslaved by Pharaoh, knew that the last place for your child to be would be in the palace. And yet, that was where Pharaoh's daughter ended up finding her, and what could she do? She felt, oh, well, I want to trust God for this life. Just as the river took her to Pharaoh's daughter, I'm going to trust that this is the best place for her to be. She would have prayed for him every day. She would have sought God after for him. And in the end, what happened was that he ended up living in the palace for about 40 years. Incredible, isn't it? 40 years he ended up living in the palace. Moses was given the best education that was possible at that time. He would have received all of that, and he would have been brought up as a prince, privy to many things that normal Israelites wouldn't have been privy to. It was amazing how it turned out, but her faith didn't come knowing that was going to happen. Her faith came and she put him in the basket. You know, we should trust God for our children and make sure that we pray for them. This morning we're going to be dedicating 8 children. This doesn't make them Christians. They can only do that by themselves when they choose to follow God for themselves. But what each parent is doing is they're saying that I'm going to pray for this child. I'm going to commit to bringing him up, knowing God, knowing that they have purpose and significance and value and dignity on their lives. I'm going to bring them up knowing about God and what he's like and how he created us. After all, they're made in his image as well as our own. But what about if you're a parent here and you've done exactly that? You've raised your children up in the best way you know how, trusting them to God, and they just seem to be going astray. What about if you have spent time and time and time praying for your children and they're just not going the way in which you hope them to? What happens then? Well, you know, Jochebed probably felt like that. Later on in the story, after those 40 years that Moses had been in prison, after she had given all that time to input into his life, after he had received an amazing education, he ends up murdering someone. And he then ends up running away and spending another 40 years in the desert. And he lived there. You know, it's not until he was 80 that he kind of really encounters God in a powerful way, and then he ends up going back to Pharaoh and saying, "Let my people go." It's not until that point. So for a while there, Jochebed's probably wondering, what happened? Where did it all go wrong? And I want you to hear this. What Moses did when he chose to take another person's life was not Jochebed's fault. It wasn't. Oh, she might have thought, maybe if I tried harder, what if I ran away when he was just little? And where are you, God, in this? How could you let this happen? You might have a child this morning that's far from God. You might have a child this morning that kind of is going down a path of destruction. And I just want you to know again, hey, it's not your fault. They have free will. They can choose to live their lives how they determine. You cannot determine the steps that your child might take. You can't do that. I'm sure Jochebed wondered, what if I did things differently? Why, God, did you let me have this child during this time where life is just mental, where people are trying to be killed? Why couldn't I have a child in a more peaceful time, if such a time could ever exist? You know, we're called to pray continually, to lift our children to God. If you believe in Jesus, there is hope for your child. There is power in his name. You know, clever arguments won't save them. Dragging them to church won't save them. A better school place won't save them. Different friendships won't save them. A new relationship won't save them. You know what will save them? It's Jesus. Jesus can save them. When they encounter him, when they know him, when they put their trust in him, that's what can save them. I know. I remember when I went away. I remember spending time in a prison cell. I remember my mum and dad must have been thinking, what on earth is he doing? We spent so much time in putting into him. You know, the thing that changed me was God empowering me, impacting my life. He's the only thing that can make a difference. And so we seek God for our children. We say, God, would you have your way with my child? So entrust your God to children, pray for them. Trust God will bring about a work in their lives. Give God thanks for them daily. And then number three, every child is God's child, and parents are called to play our part in preparing them. We don't just abandon our children and say, oh, well, there you go. No, no, we recognise that we have a vital part to play in their lives. Jochebed didn't just abandon her child to the fate of the river. Verse 2 tells us that she spent time coating the basket in tar and pitch. She did that. Jochebed didn't just wash her hands and say, well, the government have said that my baby's got to die, so there you go. Have your way. My job's done. No, no, she took time. She made sure that she put a safeguard in place. She safeguarded her children. Firstly, she made sure that the basket was waterproof. She took the time to make sure that this child went off into the world with some protection. She wasn't going to just let him sink without a trace. It's so important that we do the same with our children, isn't it? So important that we do the same. So important that we safeguard our children. We put safeguards in place to help them. It means talking to them about life, about their day, about sex, about relationships, because they're going to learn it all from somewhere. So let it be us. And how else are they going to learn about these things? And just on that note, in a few months' time, a charity called Pregnancy Options Centre, which is one of the Grace Works, which we support as a church, they're going to put on an evening for parents, and it's going to be called something like Let's Talk About Sex. It's going to be specifically looking at how do you talk to your child about sexting, about what they find on the internet, about relationship and boundaries relationship. What about how when children encounter porn, how do you talk to your children about that? And so if you're a parent here today, then I'll just encourage you to look out for that when more details come. We need to safeguard our children, don't we? We need to make sure that we are playing our part in their lives. You know, secondly, his sister stood at a distance to watch. The second thing was that Miriam, Moses' older sister, was watching over him as he drifted through the river. And I bet you, if as this basket kind of went through the river, I bet you if it hit a stone and toppled over, that she wouldn't just stand by thinking, whatever. No, she'd jump straight in, wouldn't she? She'd jump straight in, be ready to pick her up, be ready to grab her, be ready to be there. And so just in the same way, we need to be ready. We need to be ready to jump in. What does that mean? It means being ready to forgive our children. Being ready to pick them up and set them back on the path again. Means being ready to encourage them, to support them, to help them. It means being there for them. It means listening to them. It means disciplining them. It's good to discipline our children. I remember many times when I messed up and my parents were there to pick me up, to encourage me, to strengthen me, to discipline me. You know, it does your children no favours if you let them get away with things. It doesn't help them. We need to discipline our children. We need to put boundaries in place to help them to know what's right and what's wrong. And it means that they might not always appreciate us, but we're not called to be their friends. We're called to be their parents, to help them, to support them through this. It takes consistency. It takes courage. But it's good. It takes responsibility. It's our responsibility to teach and to help them. After all, these are all the things that God does for us. He encourages us. He teaches us. He's given us his Bible to help us. He disciplines us. He often makes us walk through the consequences of our actions. He allows us to cry. He allows us to grieve. These are all key things that help us to learn about him and how to grow in him and what to do next time. They teach us what he is like. They teach us his values and what's important to him. But he's always there, ready to forgive, ready to uphold. The Bible tells us his mercies are new every day. He doesn't harbour anger forever. You know, he doesn't lay a heavy burden on us that we just can't carry, and we shouldn't do the same for our children. God is a perfect father. When we look at how we should parent, let's look at how God treats us. And ultimately, when we put God at the centre of our lives, when our lives are focused on him, when we dedicate our lives to him, when we follow him and seek him, then we will be able to bring up our children in his ways. We will be able to help them. Every child is God's child, and we have our part to play in preparing them. And so this morning I've mentioned these three things, how we entrust them to our care, how we should then trust them to him, and you know, give thanks to them, pray for them, and how we have our part to play with them too. I wonder if the band can just come up for the moment. Just before we finish, there's one last thing that I want to mention, and it might be that this morning you just don't know Jesus. It might be that you've never really encountered God, you don't know him. Or it might be today that hearing this talk about parenting just hits a really tough spot because your parents were just not that great, to be honest. And these things can be difficult for you to hear, but I would want you to know kind of the same three things that we've been talking about. And that is this, that firstly, you are God's child. That he loves you. He is for you. That he has made you in his image. That he has created you before the beginning of the world, that he cares for you and he wants to know you. He wants to have a relationship with you, that you have significance in his sight, that he loves you so much that he sent his son to this earth to die on a cross to pay for your sins so that you, that relationship can be restored with him and so that you can have an eternity with God. Just like us, the best thing that you can do is we can entrust our lives to God, and so I'd encourage you to do that. God is more committed to you than you can even know. Trust your life to him. Give your life to him. He knows you. He knows everything about you. He even knows every hair on your head. You can do that even this morning. You can give your life to him. You can do it again in a significant way. It might be you've been going away from God. Maybe you knew him once, but he just seems distant. You know, you can trust your life to him again. And then thirdly, you might have felt abandoned in this life, but God promises never to leave you or forsake you. He has a plan for your life, and he wants to walk through it with you. He sends his Holy Spirit to guide you and protect you. He doesn't just leave you to it. He doesn't just have his hands of you. No, he sends his Holy Spirit to be with you, to walk through the highs and the lows. When you stumble, he's there to pick you up, to encourage you, to set you back on the path. He's always open, ready to forgive you, whatever those things might be that you need forgiveness for. There is no depths that you can reach where God's love cannot find you and extend to you. This is how he treats all of us, because we are all his children. So we give our lives to him. He sends us his Holy Spirit. We trust him and we walk together in that. Shall we just stand? Let's stand together. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray for two things, and I just want to encourage you to pray along with me. It might be that this morning you're a parent and you just, you know, you could do with just God's Holy Spirit to help you. Parenting's tough, and it's good, isn't it, to ask God just to be with us as we parent our children. And then the second thing I want to pray for, it might be this morning that you don't know God, you don't know Jesus. You know, today you can put your trust in him. You can commit your life to him again. And so, Father God, I just want to just encourage you to pray with me in your heart. Father, I just pray, Lord God, for those of us that right now are our parents. Holy Spirit, would you just come and fill us again? Would you empower us? Would you help us, Lord God, to know that you have entrusted these children to us, these in some cases young adults to us? Thank you for that, Lord. Help us, Father. Help us, Lord God, to look after them, to value our time with them, to lead them well, to parent well. Lord God, we want to give you thanks for them. We trust them to you. I just pray, Holy Spirit, right now, would you talk to us? Lord God, would you equip us? Where there's areas, Lord God, where we can be more like you in our parenting, I pray, would you highlight those to us, as I'm sure you have been during this talk. Lord, and for all those of us that don't know you or are far from you, for those of us that feel that you are distant, Lord, I pray right now, would you just come and fill us with your Spirit? Right now, Holy Spirit, would you just come? Would you help us to know that you are near? Thank you that you're a good Father. You might want to pray after me. Father God, I'm sorry that I have messed up and I've gone away from you, that I've not entrusted my life to you. And I pray right now, help me to put my trust in you. Help me to follow you. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross to pay the debt of my sin. Help me to trust you and to put my life in your hands. Lord, I don't have all the answers, but I know that you're real. I know you're good. Help me to trust in you. Amen. Amen.